Now that women are no longer forced to submit to the Taliban's harsh rule in Afghanistan, my guest, Dr. Seema Samar, is one of the few women who have risen to positions of importance in the new government. After the fall of the Taliban, she became Afghanistan's first minister for women's affairs. Under pressure by Islamic extremists, she was forced out of that position. She's now the head of the country's first human rights commission. During the lawyer Jirga, she was vice chair to Hamid Karzai, the current leader of Afghanistan. Dr. Samar just won a human rights award from the Lawyers Committee for Human Rights. On her trip to the United States, I asked her if there were things she said working with Karzai or when she was Minister of Women's Affairs that were particularly controversial.
Nothing was controversial, actually. When I was asking for women's participation in different sections, they were just kind of looking at me that I don't understand or I'm crazy somehow. Because I really wanted the women's participation to be really realistic in the country, not only symbolic. They want somebody to be a minister of women's affairs and sitting and not doing anything or be quiet, not fight with them for everything. But I was not able to do that. Very simple. I was asking them that when they made a commission for coordinating aid to Afghanistan, and I said, can I be part of it? And they said, why? A woman should be part of it. And I said, well, I feel that there's a need, and I want to know the plan you're making for the country, how gender-sensitized it is.
Did you feel like you got support from Hamid Karzai?
Not much, unfortunately. I think he was saying that when we are making road, it's for both, for men and women. Mm-hmm. So why are you worried about it?
So you had to explain yourself all the time.
Yeah, first of all, to explain all the time. And secondly, most of the time they were not giving chance to me to speak. So that was a really difficult position. But I'm proud to say that I was really able to establish the Ministry of Women's Affairs. And the Ministry of Women's Affairs is much organized and does have its long-term strategy than any other ministry now.
Let's talk a little bit about your life. Your father had two wives, and your mother was his first wife. What did your father think of women's rights, and what did your mother think?
Well, both of my mother, unfortunately, are illiterate. They are very traditional. They think that what they do is their job. Very simple, as all the other women in our country. My father was, he really believed on educating the children. But even for him, there was a difference between boys and girls. Of course, the preference was for the boys, not for the girls. And for us, he was ready to give us the education, to allow us to go to school up to a certain time. But this was not limited for the boys.
You got married before you went to medical school. How did your husband feel about you going?
Well, that was part of our agreement, because I said that I'm not interested to marry unless he really support me on education, because I want to continue my education. And he was really supportive. He did support a lot. But then he was taken by the Russian when I was in fourth year, and he never came.
So you were still in medical school when he was taken away. You stayed in medical school, completed your time?
Yes, I did. I continued because I was in fourth year, so I had to study another 3 years.
Did you ever see him again?
No. No.
In 1984, you went to Pakistan from Afghanistan. Why did you go?
I went to Quetta, Balochistan, which is does have a lot of refugees. And I was working in a hospital for refugees, which was run by Interchurch Aid. And then I decided that this was the only hospital which had a female branch on it, female section. But this hospital was only functioning from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and they were not attending any emergency cases. Then I decided to start a hospital for women and children. I did start a hospital for women and children in 87. So that was the way I start. Then I start some girls' school. Then I start some hospital and schools in Afghanistan. Now I run 4 hospitals, 10 clinics, 57 schools with more than 37 students, boys and girls, and some income generation project, a lot of literacy course for women.
When you were in Pakistan and started setting up women's hospitals and schools for girls, were you familiar with the madrasas that were being set up there by Islamic extremists that were in part training boys who were refugees from Afghanistan?
Absolutely. I was seeing in 85 there was a new camp built in one part of Balochistan. So newly established clinic, and I was going there. It was under the tent. Beside the clinic, it was a huge building with a high wall was built very quickly, and it was madrasa. So my question was, on that time, I was not thinking that they are becoming in power one day in Afghanistan. My fear was that these poor boys, why they should be in prison in order to get education. And I saw the difference that how much money is going to build a madrasa and how much money is going to build a clinic. Because the madrasa has got a high wall and really rooms on it and building. We were under the tent and we just built maybe 1.5 meter high wall around the tent in order to protect the dust not enter the tent. And nobody was really there. No UN agency, no other international community to support the formal education. Because they would say that we just do the emergency work and education is long-term development work, which was a big, big mistake. It's not unfortunate that we lost all those generations without education.
You have a son. Were you worried when he was young that he would be influenced by the extremists who would want to train him to be a man who did not respect the rights of women?
Not exactly, because he was my son, mm-hmm. and he does have a lot of respect for women's rights, and he's very nice and supportive son. And I really didn't give any kind of chance for him to be influenced by the religious extremists. One of these political party, fundamentalist party, wanted to kidnap him in order to make me leave the country or leave the work I do, because they were not happy with the women's program from the very beginning.
So did they succeed in kidnapping him?
No. He was locked for, I don't know, three weeks at home. He was under house arrest, and we were able to somehow protect him.
How old was he then?
He was 7 or 8 years old when I started all these things.
What did you tell him about needing to be brave? Did you talk to him about that?
Well, he was so clever and supportive that he was telling me that we should be brave, we should be strong. Because he was knowing about the whole things. I tried to not tell him that his father is lost or arrested. And then one day he was 5 years old, he told me that, oh, don't try to lie to me. I know what's happened to my father. So don't worry, I'll be old and I'll be... On that time, he said he's going to be Mujahid and fight against the Russian in order to protect his father or to protect the country.
Where does your son live now?
My son is studying in this country.
In the United States?
Yes.
And are you grateful that he's out of Afghanistan now?
I'm grateful that because it's not easy in Afghanistan to be a single parent and brought somebody up, some child, the way you want. So he loves to go and he will go. He's only a student visa. He's studying in this country. Last year when the announcement was made, he said he's going because I'm alone and he wants to help me. But I said, finish your study and then go. Afghanistan has a long way to go, so don't rush. He's very cooperative. He's very nice.
Do you know a lot of women in Afghanistan now who don't seem to want to have more rights, who think that they should be behind the veil and who think that they should remain in the house and who think that men are much better and more important and smarter and all the other things than women are?
Yes, unfortunately, because the literacy rate is very low in the country. The majority of the people are illiterate. When you have enough educated women, you have less violence, you have less problem for the woman because they know what is their right. In our country, I think 98% of women are illiterate.
Have you tried to talk to women who resist women's rights?
I did try the women's, yes. They're not really resisting, but they say that they're not as strong as I am, or they don't understand. And very simply, they reply that, well, we have to obey the husband, otherwise who's going to feed us? You're a medical doctor, so you can earn your own money. We are not in that position.
Well, so when a woman says to you, well, sure, it's easy for you. You're a doctor. You make a living. How can I be independent? Mm-hmm. My husband would cut me off and I wouldn't be able to eat. What do you say to them?
Well, I keep trying and pushing them to, okay, let's do and learn this job. That's why I do run some projects which give the women some skill and they can stand on their own feet, especially the widows. But, of course, it's very difficult to get the money. We are absolutely depend on outsider. But we really try on this matter.
Now, you've been called the Salman Rushdie of Afghanistan. Salman Rushdie had a fatwa against him. He had a death threat against him. Do you think your life is in danger? Do you need any protection?
Yes, the life is in danger. I already have a lot of protection by some people, but still I have bodyguards and I walk around everywhere with gunmen.
Do you think that the gunmen and bodyguards who are protecting you support your women's rights work?
Oh, yes, yeah, yes. These are the people who has been working with me maybe 15 years. And these are the boys that somehow I arranged their marriages and everything. So it's almost like my sons, my family.
You arranged their marriages?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, about how you did it?
Yes. For example, one of these boys has no mother and no father. He was with us and working. And since 87, he is with me in the hospital. And then there was another family, another lady who had a daughter and a son, and her husband was also killed. And this girl was, I proposed, and she was happy to marry this boy, and we just did the marriage and everything, and now they have children, three children, and they are happy, and both of them is really kind of thankful to me that I was able to direct their life. Before that, he was working here and there, and he had no option. But now he has the family, and he has everything. And he really respects me. He called me mother.
That's great.
So this is something that, I mean, it's few people like this that I really kept since long, long time since. Still, if they have some problem, I'm the judge to solve it. So this is the way that we work.
Well, I wish you very good luck with your work and with your safety. And I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Seema Samar is the head of Afghanistan's new Human Rights Commission. Last week in New York, she received a Human Rights Award from the Lawyers Committee for Human Rights. This is Fresh Air.